we say, I can feel them all over me. Amen. We thank God tonight for being in the house of prayer. And amen. We just thank God for being such a good God. And how many are praying for those up in Buffalo? Amen. 8 feet of snow in 2 days is unheard of. Amen. And we just thank God that in spite of they've had 13 deaths as a result of the weather. And, you know, when unusual weather patterns are indication for those that are in church, we know that those are signs of the time. Amen. 8 feet of snow, our buildings were collapsing, our houses, buildings collapsing because of the amount of snow. Amen. As a matter of fact, when it was almost hard to believe there were cars under the snow when they were digging them out. So we just pray for them. And amen. We know that these are all signs of the time. Unprecedented weather changes. Amen. But God is God. And, you know, tonight we have so much to be thankful for. In spite of what you may be experiencing, we have so much to be thankful for. Amen. This morning I got a call from my sister, one of my other sister's best friends. She had spoke to her yesterday morning, and she couldn't get back in touch with her. She'd been calling back and forth. It just so happened that she was changing a tire on the side of the road and a truck ran over and killed her on the spot, you know. And so, needless to say, my sister was devastated. We prayed with her and as she cried. But things are happening all around it. Amen. So we really need to learn to thank God for what we have. You know, we like to complain and look at our situation and make it so hopeless and bleak. Amen. But I like the songwriter said, we need to start counting our blessings. Amen. When you start naming them one by one, count your many blessings and see what God has done. Amen. No time to complaining. Amen. And fretting about what we don't have. It's time to bless God and thank Him for what we do have. Amen. We watched, I think, the Word Network yesterday. They were showing all these starving children over in Africa. Amen. And it just gives you a sense of gratitude. Amen. You know, I said, Lord, if I don't get anything else, when I look at what they're going through, I have enough already. So we need to learn to thank God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I know it's been cold, the weather's changing. Amen. But this is a sanctified church, amen. last I saw the name on the door, it said Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance. Amen. That means we know how to serve the Lord in spite of. Does anybody have an in spite of praise? Praise Him in spite of what we're going through? In spite of what's happening around us, can we say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. We just bless the Lord. Amen. And we thank God tonight that we're not paralyzed by fear. Amen. Isn't it so good to see that Elder Tinsley is still in one piece after his introduction on Sunday? Glad to see he's still in one piece for what we can see. Amen. We bless the Lord anyway. Amen. God is a good God. And we just thank God that He's a way maker. Amen. Thank God for my wife and amen for her still working on me. How many know God works on me, but yet God has to have some human help sometimes too. Yes, all of us need some work. I'm not the only one that needs work. Amen. Some say He's not through with me yet. God is still working on all of us tonight, amen. And every day our heart's desire should be to be more like Jesus. Everybody want to be more like Jesus? Amen. You know, a lot of times we like to emulate all these athletes and different stars and everything, but every time you turn on the news, there's a new idol that has fallen. Amen. A new idol has fallen. Amen. I'm not going to mention names, but just so much happening. Amen. I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. If I never get on TV or anything else, I'm just glad to know who the Savior is. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand tonight for our scripture reading. We're going to take our scripture reading from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read, I believe it's verses 5 through 7 of Proverbs chapter 3. Then we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Amen. The most important thing tonight, actually, why don't we read verses 1 through 7 of Proverbs chapter 3. The most important thing tonight is, how do you stand with God? Amen. How do you stand with God? Amen. The only thing that counts tonight is, how does the Lord see us? How does the Lord see me? Amen. Verse 1 reads, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart see my commandments." My son, forget what?
Not my law.
But let thy
heart see my commandments.
Amen. The word that I hid, that I might not sin against thee, for length of days and long life and peace shall he add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Notice the writer said, not in the sight of man and God, but in the sight of who? God and man. Now we're going to do what? Trust in the Lord with? Trust in the Lord with? And lean not to own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and heart. Amen. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word in the church. Hear the word of the Lord. If blessed already, you may be seated. Amen. Solomon says, back to verse once again, verse 1 again. We're talking about the what? The heart. Amen. Verse 1 reads, "Forget not my thy law is his word. But let thine heart keep my commandments." For what? You want to have a good long life? Stay in the word of God. Amen. You want your life to be somewhat long and fulfilling? Stay in the word of God. For length of days and peace shall he add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them. You know, I say, you know, something about mercy and truth. Don't just wrap them, but do what? Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find. Now, grace is favor. Favor is grace. That means that you are finding a special place. Amen. Because of what? The word of God. So shall I find favor and in the sight of who? God and man. Now, today in society as a whole, people tend to do for man first and then God. But we that in church, I wonder if we were to do a gut check. Amen. If we were to search ourselves, who are we trying to find favor and good understanding in the sight of first? Amen. And with everything that we do, in our motives, our actions, whatever we do, who are we trying to obtain the favor of first? Amen. Now we all know we want to find favor with God. I mean, there's no disputing that. We want good understanding and favor with God, but who do we want with first? Amen. In doing what we do, and then fulfilling God's word and keeping it, are we trying to find favor with God and then man? Or are we trying to find favor with man and eventually God? That's something to think about. Who are we trying to obtain the favor of? Because favor is grace. Amen. But now you have to do what? Trust in the Lord with all of your
heart.
Notice, the writer keeps talking about the what?
Heart.
Amen. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. So it's so important tonight as we, amen. That's why I'm so glad I don't have to give an account for what's in your heart. I have to give an account for what's in. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, when there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to judge the secrets of man's hearts by the gospel. What is in our heart tonight? Amen. As God is searching and trying, what is in your heart? Amen. What is in your heart? So trust and love with all thine heart. And the most important thing to be right with God is you can't have your own understanding. Now let's go to, I'm going to come back here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Now we're trying to get the understanding, not our own understanding, but the understanding that's right in the sight of who? God. Now Proverbs 14, verse 12 said, there's a way that seemeth. Now when your own understanding, you can do some things, but it might not be right. Amen. You might feel as though I'm making a right, proper decision. But he said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the is the what? Ways of death. So my own understanding can get in the way of what God wants me to do, and it'll lead me to death. There's a way. Tonight, even as we, and the greatest challenge that we have as a people of God is surrendering our will to God's will. You know, we come to church, we hear the word, we shout, we do all that. But when we get home, right back to us again. But there's a way. There's a way that seemeth right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, Proverbs 14:14. Now, all of these y'all know, I should close the Bible and make y'all work. Let's work these together, right? Amen. It's Proverbs. Proverbs say, the 14th verse says what? The? It's filled with what? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. So the backsliding heart is filled with his. Somebody said, well, how does somebody backslide? Because they won't get out of their way and get in God's. Amen. There's only one. Jesus is the what? So if you go another way other than the way of Jesus, there is another way. But Jesus is. The Bible says there's a way, and it shall be called the way of. There's only how many ways? One way. But your way will rival God because you're filled with your own ways. Amen. The reason people backslide is because they won't surrender. The reason people get so far away from God, even holy, righteous people that once walked with God, the reason they get away so far away is because they're filled with their. You know, and you try to reason with people. Now, I'm not talking about anybody here, so don't y'all take this personally. Like saying down south, like said, less than this you. You try to reason with people, and people will say, you know, that's right as far as the word of God. But then they go back to their own way. And when they go to their own way, listen, there can only be one God. Amen. One God. So when you will not surrender to God, that means your way has taken preeminence or is rivaling God's way. Right? So God uses his word to try to redirect us to bring our focus back to God. But then our way gets in the way of God's way. And because our way takes the preeminence, we begin to drift from God because we're not giving heed to God. The scripture says it's good that a man should draw near to God. But we can't get close to God because of our ways. So the backside of heart is filled with his own ways. Amen. But it says a good man is. If you want to be good, say, you know what? My way is not the best way. God's way is the best way. So now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. So we're supposed to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and do what? Lean not unto our own. So in the midst of me trying to do the right thing, Lord, I'm not sure what to do. So So the next verse says what we should do. We should do what? Acknowledge the Lord in. Now, we're trying to get the mind of God. We're trying to find the direction of God. We're trying to get away from the spirit of error. Now, as long as we walk in our own way, we stay in the spirit of error. So to get out of the spirit of error, we have to acknowledge the Lord in. Lord, you know, sometimes we think, well, that's so academic. That's so elementary. Why do I have to ask God? Because it says to acknowledge him in all my ways for him to do what? Direct our path. Now, once again, we're going back to being filled with our own way, thinking our own way, thinking what we think is right. Amen. There's a way that seems right. The scripture says, when a man thinketh a thing, he what? Knoweth it not yet as he ought to know it. So we're thinking, we're feeling, we think we're doing God's way. But then I heard Isaiah said, if his thoughts are not our thoughts, and neither his ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways, our ways, and his thoughts. So our thoughts can't even get in the boat of God because his thoughts are so high. You know, the other day they showed where the Russians set up an unmanned aircraft and landed on one of the comets, and it was millions and millions of miles away. Can you imagine that? Million and millions of miles away from Earth? That's how far God's thoughts are above our thoughts. Amen. And that wasn't the end. That's just where the comet was at. Because the Bible says the heavens of the heavens cannot contain God. You can get, if it were possible just to shoot a rocket and let it keep going, it would never end. Because when you get up there, you get into God's space, and God's space is eternity. Well, when it comes to God, and this is where we as a people have to have our trust in God, to believe God, when it comes to God, we can't even get close to knowing the mind of God. So that's why it's so important we have to acknowledge God. But it says this, be not what? Wise in what? Hey, it must not be on the screen. Be not wise in thine. The problem in church is we know what God says, but when we get our backs up against the wall, we always go back to our own ways. Amen. The old ways. That's not God's way. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and do what? Depart from evil. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. The most important thing we can learn tonight is obedience. Obedience is more important than anything. Did not Samuel tell Saul to obey is what? To obey is better than, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Amen. God wants obedience. But it's hard to obey God when we want to do what we want to do. Once again, the backslided heart is filled with what? His own ways. But the man that is good in the sight of God is satisfied from himself. Did he sing earlier, satisfied with who? Jesus. Most of us really aren't satisfied with Jesus. We're satisfied with ourselves. Not in here, but this is for wherever it goes. Amen. But I'm concerned tonight that many of us are missing God's mind because we won't get rid of our mind. Many of us are missing the lead for where God wants us to go because we keep going where we want to go. Amen. And we fail to realize that the Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and God's ways are past. You cannot figure God out. That's why God said, you gotta trust me. Because in us trying to figure God out, we mess up. Because our minds are finite, and then God's mind is what? Infinite. Now, all y'all went to school, right? We know what infinity means, right? I'm not talking about the car. All right? Not the car. But the infinite mind means that God, that, you know what? It just keeps going. Mm-hmm. It has no end. It has no measure. His ways are past. Scripture says, who has known the mind of God? Or who has been as a counselor to instruct God? God's ways are beyond our ways. So the only way that we can have the mind of God is we have to surrender to God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And then surrendering to God, we can't keep doing it our way. Now, the problem that the Lord had with Saul is God told Saul to go and destroy all. Amen. And Saul went and did it whose way?
His way.
And God got so angry that he removed Saul from being king because he did not obey. Right? So it says to obey is better. Because then he says stubbornness is as witchcraft, one of them, and something that says idolatry. Right? And witchcraft and idolatry. Stubbornness as a sin of witchcraft. When you're stubborn, you say, one is stubborn, one is rebellion. Don't make a difference. We know what it means. It means stop doing it your way. Amen. We need to surrender to God. And the problem with Saul, that the reason God had a reason for wanting to destroy the King Agag and the Amalekites, because the scripture says that when Israel came out of Egypt, the Amalekites attacked Israel from the rear. So God said, okay, I'm going to pronounce judgment on them. It won't be now, but it will be in the future. And when Saul went, Saul said, well, God certainly couldn't mean this, because Saul is not now being obedient. He's doing what he wants to do. He said, you know what? I'm going to keep the best. But God knew why he wanted them to be destroyed, because they tried to destroy his people. And then last week we went over, who did we go over last week? What do y'all remember? Who's the one went over that was filled with his own ways and just full of ways? His name was what? Haman, right? Haman was an Agagite, which means he was an Amalekite. So Haman, the reason that Haman was destroyed, because once again, the same spirit, now listen to the spirit, the same spirit of the Amalekites that tried to destroy the Jews coming out of Egypt was the same spirit that tried to destroy Mordecai, who was a Jew. Amen. So God had pronounced judgment on the Agagites or the Amalekites, but Saul did not obey. And as a result of Saul not obeying, their lineage was extended to the point that they almost destroyed the Jews. That's why we have to keep the mind of God to work in obedience. And at the end of that, if we went to the 10th chapter of Esther, all of Haman's house was destroyed as part of the judgment that should have been executed by King Saul, but they stayed because he was disobedient. And when David, just to let you know how our mind can interfere in conflict with God, and we read things that we don't have to read, when David had left the city, who came and destroyed the city when David went to fight with the Philistines? Was the who? The Amalekites. Well, if Saul had done what God told him to do, they wouldn't have been there. So that shows you how we do what we want to do in conflict to God, we mess up. Amen? Y'all gonna help me?
Yeah.
I know it's cold. Who's cold? Amen, I'm cold too, but that's all right. We need to get a mind of God, you know. If we don't do anything else, whether we go into a new church or stay here, whatever we do, we need to know the mind of God more than anything. Not our mind. Our minds will mess up every time because we will see things through our own eyes, and all the ways of a man are what? Clean in his own. But when we start seeing things through God's eyes, we'll be just like Job. Job said, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Well, what stops us from seeing things through God's eyes? What stops us from being obedient to God? Doing what we want to do, and we're filled with what? Just think about it, sir. Let's just, don't go back a long ways. Let's just go back a couple of weeks. Who weighs takes the preeminence most of the time? Think about it. Who weighs? Now, I don't know your personal situation. But you make your own evaluation, because the Bible said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the what? Faith or not. We need to do some personal inspections. Amen. We need to examine our ways and say, Lord, I know what your word says. Now, if I were to use a checklist for your word, where do I stand? Not what does somebody else think? Where do I stand? Amen. Verse 1 says, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep. Love the Lord and keep who? His charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments. How often? Always, amen. We should be where we have breaks in between, but always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not God. Now Moses is speaking in the place of God. He said, now I'm not telling you, speaking to your children because they don't know, but I'm speaking because they have. You have seen and you know what God has already done. Amen. Not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his. Now listen, he said, I'm not talking secondhand. I'm talking about what you know. What you know God has already done, he said, that's what I'm giving you now, what you know. This is a witness for what you already know. His acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you. Now God, he's given them a recount of history for how good he's been, the ways that he made for them out of no way, all that he did to protect them. He said, I'm giving you all of this to let you know what you already know, amen? Oh, and how the Lord has destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how, now he's, you know what he's trying to get them to do? He said, I'm trying to get you to walk in my statutes. I'm trying to get you to walk in my way. I don't want you to be as those that did what they wanted to do and thought they were doing what was right. Amen? He said, how the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. Now let's read about why God did that to them. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. Why did God do all of this? Now, do you know what it means when the earth swallows, opens up and swallows whole houses and people? Because they're doing things, but they thought they were doing it God's way. Amen. Verse 16, verse 1 reads, y'all with me still? We're trying to find the mind of God so that we do not reap God's wrath. Now the Bible says the reason we reap God's wrath, not because God is mad at us, but the Bible says he is immutable. God cannot change. God cannot deny him words. So what is written, God has to fulfill it. Otherwise, he will change. Amen. And we know that Jesus Christ is the same when? Today and forever. And in the book of Malachi, it says, God cannot change, will not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And Hebrews chapter 6 says, whereby two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to tell a one of the two impossible things, God and His Word, because God is His Word. So the Word says, if you do this, there are consequences. So even though God, in His infinite knowledge and love, will want to not do it, He has to honor His Word because it cannot be changed. Amen? So now, why did God get mad at Abraham and Korah? Why did they get mad? Now, God is using who? Moses. The scripture says about Moses, there's not another man like Moses. He said, others I speak to them in dreams and vision, but my servant Moses, I speak to him how? Face to face. So God set Moses apart. God is leading Moses, but how many know when you get into your own self sometimes, you get to the point where you question those that are leading. Amen? Now, this isn't that kind of message. Y'all ain't gonna leave me, right? Don't leave me by myself. If you can't say amen, say ouch. All right? At least we are here together, okay? You say, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up. You know what? They are resisting Moses. Now, who did God choose to bring the children of Israel out and to lead them to the promised land? But what happened to these men? You're going to find out they didn't just get the average people. They went to the nobles. They went to the princes. They went to the people that were somebody and persuaded them to follow them. Why? Because they were filled with their own ways. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. How many? You know what this means? These were somebody in the congregation. They persuaded 250 of the princes of Israel to resist Moses. Amen? Famous in the, they were in the congregation. They just weren't anybody, men of. But what was the problem? The reason they were resisting Moses? Because they were filled with their own ways. They were not submitting to God. All they had to do is realize all the things that God had blessed Moses and led Moses to do, to realize, hey, he's brought us this far. If he brought us this far, why not let's trust him to lead us on? How many of them took part of the Red Sea? How many of them went to stand and resist Pharaoh? No. But when you get so big, when you get so full of you, you will mess up. When I get full of me, I will. That's why it's important that I have to acknowledge the Lord in. That's why I can't be wise in my own. But I have to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay? These got 250. Not just anybody. Renowned princes. Famous in the congregation to go against God. Numbers don't mean anything because they were going. Who was it? Just Moses and Aaron. But the difference was Moses and Aaron had God behind them. Hey, they had a whole lot of people, but that don't mean nothing if you don't have God. Stay in God. And they gathered themselves together against Aaron and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are. We're just as holy as you are. We speak in tongues like you speak. We pray like you pray. So what makes you so Mr. Big Man?" Right? They didn't feel their own ways. Self will kill you. Self will destroy you because pride goes before. When you start coming up, he has said, "Lord, bring me back down. Lord, humble me. Lord, just make me to submit I don't want to see me. I always want to see God. I don't care who the leader is. As long as God is leading them and speaking, I'm going to surrender. But when you get filled with you, it's hard to surrender. So you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. You know, I said, we got the Lord, but you got the God. We can do what you can do. You just got too big for yourself. Did God put them in that position? Then follow the leader. Amen? We're not messing with anything. We're just trying to stay saved, right? We just want God's favor. We don't want to, when we look in the mirror, we want the reflection we want to see is God. We should be tired of seeing us. I know I don't want to see me. Amen. That's why I don't like taking pictures. All right, everybody's waiting here for the pictures. But we ain't going to be there. We ain't going to see that long. Thank you. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves. So why are you lifting yourselves up? Above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, the humble man he was. Humble, right? The Bible says Moses was the meekest man of all the earth. He was full of humility. Even when his sister and brother, Miriam and Aaron, resisted him, Moses just took it. Now, if we were Moses right about now, we would probably be ready to strike back. But when you have a heart for God's people, Moses fell on his face. Next verse. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near. Moses is pleading with him to say, you know, you still got time. You got time. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Now, if that would have been some of us, we were, Moses didn't rise up, Moses went down. Amen. Jesse Dixon used to sing a song. He said, I can't even walk without you. He said, I used to think I was a very big man. He said, but you know when I learned to stand? When I was down on my knees. We need to learn to get down on our knees. We need to get some humbleness. We need to get out of God's way. Even when, if let them come up against us and say, you know what, Lord, you permitted it, I'm just going to give it to you. This is what Moses says. I'm not going to fight you. I'm just doing what God told me to do. Amen. This dude, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you. You know what he's doing? He's reasoning with them. Isaiah said, come and let us what? Reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like red as crimson, they shall be as wool. So now it's time to what? Moses is trying to reason, says, stop. You put the brakes on. You're going, but when you get so full of you, sometimes nobody can stop you. Because you want to do what? You want to do. The backside of the heart is filled with. Hey, listen, this verse is easy for y'all to remember. It's just 14 and 14, right? For Proverbs. Say Proverbs 14, 14. Just remember that, right? You can't forget it. Backside of the heart is filled with wrong ways. Proverbs 14, 14. I learned that in 1976. Right, so this is what, 38 years later, I still remember it. Right, then 14:12 is there's a way that seemeth right. So just remember those two. I don't want it to be right to me, I want it to be rightful for who? Before God. And Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the... He said, wait a minute. God just going to separate you? Amen. God just going to give you this? It's bad when it's just you. Because the Bible says out the mouth of how many witnesses? From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's always going to be two or three witnesses. Let everything. Moses said, well, God separates you, but where are the witnesses? Not evil men that's just in agreement, but where's the spiritual witness? Where's the confirmation that God is giving you this to do it? Amen? He said that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister. And he has brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi with thee, and seek ye. That was the problem with Saul. Saul performed the office of the priest, but he was a king. And that's why God, he said, Saul went and lifted up a sacrifice, and then Samuel came, and Samuel said, Saul, what are you doing? He said, well, you were taking too long. So since you didn't come, I figured I'd do this. Be careful when you start putting your opinion or your mind above what God. God did not call you to that office, so stay where you are. Didn't the Bible say that every man abide in his calling way in? Where is his call? So Moses is saying, God didn't call you to do this. What are you doing? Right? But now they are filled with themselves. And you know what's really pushing the charge? You got all these people behind them. Wrong is wrong. I don't care if you got a million. Be right with God. Amen? So, you know, now, what Korah, Abiram, and Dathan did, they went and did this behind Moses' back, right? Like they were sneaking and clandestine and did this. How do we wind up on something like this? I don't know. Let's see here. All right. We don't know why God does what he does, but how many want to be right? You can't be right and be wrong. Right? You can't straddle the fence. You can't be part right and part wrong. Did not the God tell every church in Revelation, he said, I know what you've been doing. It's important that we do what's right in God's eyes. Amen. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against. He should have stopped right there. You know, that should have been the intention then. So you're not going against me. You're not going against Aaron. But you're going against who? Right? That should have been the catch right there. That should have been the door stopper. That should have made him say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute, Moses. What do you mean we're going against the Lord? We thought we were going against you. Moses is in the stead of God trying to reason with them, but guess what? They still feel with their own ways. Amen. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not. Wait a minute. Moses is leading. He's been a leader. He's been in charge. Now he called for them and they stubborn, right? Stubbornness is a sin and rebellion is a sin and witchcraft and stubbornness is as idolatry. Right? Because now he's being stubborn. Moses is calling for them, but they said, we ain't gonna come to you. What does that mean? I'd rather stay humble and be with God. They get so proud and lifted up. That God, listen, God will bring you down. If you don't believe it, go to Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 20 and read about Lucifer. Right? When he lifted himself up, God said, what? You gonna come up in my house? You gonna come up in heaven and try and think you're gonna take over? He said, I'll bring you down. Be careful. Amen. He said, it's a small thing that I have brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us. Who died? And God always made a way. He always provided, right? But now they're filled with their own ways. They're doing it their way. This ain't Burger King, whoever it was. This ain't time to be doing it your way. This is time to let's do God's way. Amen. Except thou make thyself altogether a prince. Well, who put him over them? God did it. Right? But now they're full of themselves, and they're missing the mind of God. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey. I've given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not. Wait a minute. After all Moses has done to lead, direct, God, you're going to still do what you want to do? Amen. And Moses was very. You know, this day could be getting pretty ugly, right? Moses get angry and said unto the Lord, respect not thou there. I have not taken one of the donkeys from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 200 and numbers. Once again, stay with God. Numbers mean nothing if you're by yourself. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the congregation, tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all. Just because you got numbers don't mean God's with you. Amen. Don't go by the numbers. Don't go by everybody's on your side, especially when those numbers could not have been praying. Because if they were praying, they would have realized we're going against leadership. We're going against what God has established and ordained, if they were right. Right? It's all right to go against something if God didn't set it up, because then it's up to opinion, up to debate. But if God has said it, don't debate God. Less happily you find yourself to fight. And then Gamaliel said, leave him alone. He said, not unless you be happy to find yourself to what? Fight again. Leave him alone. He said, if this thing be of God, hey man, you can't do anything with it. You're going to fight, but you're fighting God. He said, but if it's not of God, it's going to come down anyway, so just leave it alone. Some stuff we need to leave. Some stuff we need to take. Look at somebody and say, just leave it alone. Because if it's of God, it's going to come to pass. And if it's not, if it's of God, it will come to pass. And you're fighting against God. If it's not of God, it will come to dawn. So there's some things you just need to. Well, I've been in church a long time. Yes, some of those princes. The ones that were famous, the ones that were renowned, but they still did not have the mind of God. Amen? How do we get over this kind of a subject anyway? Amen? We're supposed to be back with Esther. How many say, listen, Lord, I just want to be saved. Anybody want to be saved? Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity, for above. I must be saved. Amen. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. This is when you know you're bad, right? When God's presence is there, you still want to do what you want to do. God's glory, his presence appears where? In the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, now, all of them, who God speaking to? You know, right then, if you got the right mind, you say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know we're going against you, but God is speaking to you. You know what? Lord, I repent. Lord, I'm wrong. I see you're not talking to me. You're just talking to those two and all of us over here by ourselves. But when you're so set on you, even when God is moving, you can't surrender. You can't submit. He told them to separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consult them. Now. Do you think they hear God speaking? They're all there together, right? He tells them to separate yourselves from these because I'm going to consult them in a moment when they still are set on doing what they want to do. Right? Because they're not in the mindset to receive from God because they're filled with Lord, kill me. And Paul said, I die what? Daily. Lord, I want you to increase. Let me decrease. God is speaking. He's separating. He wants to destroy them. And they still are set to do what they want to do. And they fell upon their face and said, oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with? Moses is still being a leader. God wants to destroy them all, but God, Moses stands in the gap. Right? He stands in the stead. He said, Lord, I can't let you destroy all of the congregation because of a few is wrong. Because he was a man after God's own heart. He just could not do it. Amen. With all that, this is too much. When you think, if I'm sitting there watching this, this is like a little too much happening for me to stay where I'm at. But when you feel with your own ways, you can't see God because you can't get past you. Amen. And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and look, the whole congregation is where? They're persuasion. Got the whole congregation to go with them, and who's over here? Moses and Aaron. Don't let numbers fool you. Don't get caught up with the number. Don't get caught up with the masses. Just stay with God. Amen. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and all the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door, and their wives, listen, what else do you need? God is speaking, God is moving, and you still want to do what? Because you're filled with what? Lord, help me to surrender. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of the tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them. I didn't do it because I wanted to do it. I'm doing what God. Amen. That's why I said, Lord, you lead me. Lord, you direct me. Lord, you show me. Lord, you give me your mind. Not my mind, but give me your mind. Amen. He said, if these men die the common death of all men, if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord. This is not something that happened right away. They're going through a process of God trying to get their attention, but they're so set on doing what they want to do that God can't get their attention. But if the Lord make a new, right? I would just say, Moses, wait a minute. Can we talk for a few minutes before you go in? You know what? I know we didn't persuade Moses, but everybody that's left us, I would say, Moses, can we? But you know what? They're so set, they just proud. Say what you want, Moses. Do what you want to do. Right? But Moses said, it wasn't my mind. It was God's mind. Amen? He says, the Lord do a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground cleaved asunder. That was, this is how good God is. It didn't go into Moses, didn't go into the rest of them. It went down to them that were in what? Rebellion. They opened up. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth, listen, God opened up the earth. They all went down, then he closed it back up. Right? This should have been enough to say, wow. Didn't he say this? What kind of thing was it? It's a what? A new thing. They haven't seen anything like this before because God is trying to establish who's leading and who he's speaking to, right? So God does something new to show them, I'm with them, but I'm not with the rest of them, amen? Close upon them and they perish from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. They were screaming and yelling. Why are they weeks so late? Because they were so filled with their own ways. Amen. They couldn't do it. That their way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof, they could have changed. For they said, lest the earth swallow up us also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered. Now, God took care of them. He said, now, you were with them. So the fire from heaven came and took care of them too. Amen? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own soul, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the. So they took their censers and made plates, just as a remembrance for what they had done that was wrong. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censer and did as the Lord had said in covering of the altar. Next verse. To be a memorial unto the children of Israel that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense. God has an order. God has a way. Amen. That he be not as Korah as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel. Hello? After you just saw all of that. Amen? Wait, you just saw God did that, and now you still can't get it together? You know why? Because you feel Moses and against Aaron saying, ye have killed. I mean, what else can God do? Right, stops them in their track, gets their attention. He does all of that to prove a point, and then they steal the field with him. So they, all the reason they went on the other side was because they repented and meant well, because when you repent, you don't repeat. Right? The reason they did it is because common sense told them what Moses said was right. But the problem was not their mind, the problem was their heart. That's why you gotta get it right in your heart, amen. It came to pass. When the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, when was this? Was it a year later? The what? I mean, after all that you've seen that the Lord has done, you haven't learned yet? And they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly. He's trying to help the people of God out. But they were so set in their own way. He said, go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath going out from God. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. But look at this. And he stood. Now God is killing. Thank God for a man of God. Moses, Aaron stood between the living and the dead, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were and 700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague, we'll stop there. There are other scriptures, but for the sake of time, we just won't do it. All that means is just be on the Lord's side. You know, it's no time, as you see on churches, you watch people of God just doing what they want to do, making a mockery of church. And can we stay on the Lord's side? Amen. Numbers don't mean anything if God's not with you. Amen. And it's so important that we don't want to keep doing what we want to do. Isn't it time to surrender? The one great thing about Saul, when he realized that God had finally got his attention, and this is what we all need, this is a prototype that we need to follow, or a pattern that we need to follow. When God finally gets our attention, we should say, Lord, what will you have me? Anybody want to be a what will you have me to do? I can keep doing what I want to do, but what I'm doing is taking me in the wrong direction. When you do what you want to do, you can see God destroying on this side, God destroying here, God doing a new thing and swallowing people up. And because I'm so filled with me, I get mad at the leader. He didn't kill the people, who did it? You think Moses had enough power to go out there and open up the earth? God did it. But when your spirit is wrong, as we all said, and the ministers and the elders come forward, when you determine to do what you want to do, nothing's going to change. Tonight is all about, Lord, I just want to be saved. Lord, I'm so tired of me. Anybody tired of me? Bible says, whoso looketh into the perfect law, living a continual day in, he not being a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, this man shall be. Anybody tired of just hearing the word and staying the same? It's time for change. God can change. God can bring about a new you. But not as long as you say you. You have to surrender. Tonight is all about surrendering, whether you're young or old. Amen. It's about surrendering. It's about not fighting God, but saying, Lord, I'm tired. Anybody tired? I know. I get tired of me. Amen. I get tired of doing things my own way. And I ask God every day, Lord, change me. Amen. You know, and a lot of times, God always allows the right situations to come so you can see you. Amen. I think yesterday we were riding in the car and I got a chance to see me for a minute. Then I had to make a joke. Who's in the car? Let's see. Oh, never mind. But I got a chance to see me for a minute, but I got out of it real fast. I mean, I got help. Yeah, I got help for a friend. But you know, Lord, I thought I was beyond that. But thank God he's so good. To help us to see us. Amen. So I said, well, Lord, I still got some stuff to work on. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Amen. So we have to get to the point where we have to stop fighting our own battles. If I hold my peace and let the Lord, if I hold my peace, and let the Lord fight my battle. Victory, victory. Anybody tonight ready to hold their peace and let the Lord fight their battles? Then victory shall be ours. It's time to stop fighting. Amen. To stop trying. It's time to stop doing things our way. You know, I don't know. If you've been around for any period of time, when you look at all the things you've done, where you see the mess, then you see the time you surrender to God, and you see the blessings. Is there not a wise man among us tonight that we can see where we went wrong and messed up and see where we went right and God blessed us? How many want to be on the Lord's side? Then let's surrender all. Hallelujah.